Hey, I'm Roberta Blevins, and this is Life After MLM, a podcast where we work to end the stigma of failure in an industry designed for you to fail. Just popping in here like you know that I do right before an episode to give you some updates of everything that's happened in the past week. First of all, I want to say thank you. We have 4,000 downloads already. It's incredible. You guys are never ceasing to amaze me. It's really fantastic. So thank you again for your support, for telling your friends, for sharing it in the anti-MLM groups, for recommending it to people that are looking for podcasts that are anti-MLM or talk about these sort of cult tactics and things like that. So I absolutely 100% appreciate your guys' support. Another thing I've been working on, more bonus content. I love telling survivor stories and I will continue to tell those for as long as they are there to tell. But I want to also create an educational resource. So I'm working on a lot of bonus content, breaking down myths and preconceived notions about what multi-level marketing is, what business is, what capitalism is, talking about cults, talking to more experts. I've been really busy the past couple weeks, just really talking to as many people as possible and meeting as many people as possible and connecting with as many people as possible. So again, if you're one of those people, thank you so much for talking to me and for listening right now. You are incredible as well. I'm also going to start, now that I have more content behind me, I'm going to start releasing these multi-part episodes a lot quicker and a lot faster. So most likely it's going to be like a Sunday, Monday sort of thing. That's the plan right now, but we'll see how it goes. The other thing is, a lot of you have been asking me how to support me additionally. I've had a couple of people ask me about a Patreon. And while a Patreon is a really good idea, at this point in my podcast, I really want all of the educational stuff to be free. And I want all of the educational stuff to be available to anybody that needs to hear it and not just the super fans. So right now, I'm not sure about Patreon, but I did hear about an incredible website called Buy Me a Coffee, and it's sort of like Patreon, except they're one-time donations. So if any of you are listening to this and want to buy me a coffee or a taco, I like those too, I'll put the link in the show notes in the description so that you can pop over there and support me in that way. Again, this has been such an amazing journey so far. So I really do appreciate all of your support. And I have yammered on long enough. So let's get to the show.
It is.
It took me a long time to learn that, but I learned that recently and I was like, oh my gosh, how empowering. Hey, can you do that? No. Oh, well,
I'm sorry.
No.
And then if they ask for an explanation, you either say, I don't have the bandwidth for this, or I'm at capacity. I have heard you. I acknowledge you. I will add to the to-do list.
If I can in the future, I will let you know. But as of right now, the answer is no.
Right. So like I said, so let yourself stew in it for a little bit if you need to, but somehow come to the realization that it was not your fault.
Right. I mean, you failed in an industry designed for you to fail. It's definitely not your fault. You're just another cog in the machine, like we say. You succeeded in a backward way.
Yep, exactly. So then the next thing I would say is to do a deep analysis of your numbers. Where do you stand? Are you like me where you are not in the hole, but you definitely did lose a lot? Okay. So let's just figure out a way to make it back.
Rebuild your savings.
Rebuild your savings as fast as you can. And the way that I would recommend doing that is to put it all in a high yield savings account. I am not affiliated with them, but I have one through Capital One. You can sign up for one in less than 5 minutes. All you got to do is just put in a little bit of demographic information and you can start with as little as $25. And the beauty of compound interest, especially if you're having an APY of more than 1%, which I know that with COVID, a lot of banks were dropping their APY. Mm-hmm.
There definitely are. I've been looking recently. I think I found as high as maybe 1.5.
Mm-hmm. Right, I think now, Ally
if,
has
if
that.
You look around, yeah, you amount. Can find it.
Just do some research. You know, don't take my word as, you know, religious. You know, I'm not the know-it-all. I just go based off of what has worked for me.
This is just friendly advice over a cup of coffee, not financial advice that you should base your entire life on.
Thank you for bringing that to my attention. I need to put a big ass disclaimer. I am not a financial advisor. None of the advice that I give is prescriptive. It is purely educational and informational. I am not a securities licensed advisor, so I will not tell you what stocks to invest in, what ETFs to buy, or where to put your money in terms of if you want to invest, you know. Now, if you're wanting to just say like, okay, should I do an IRA or 401k? I'll say, here's an IRA, here's a 401k, here's a Roth and a traditional, comes down to tax differences, do with that information what you will. But I'm not going to say,
right,
this stock is perfect. You know,
it's hot by now.
So I always have to disclaim, I am not an advisor, I am a coach. So I don't deal with the investing part. So if you're asking about stocks and bonds, I am not your girl. Purely budget. So thank you for bringing that.
Yes.
Because always have to say that, because everybody needs to tell them what is the best life insurance. Should they invest in an annuity? And I'm like, talk to a broker about that.
Yeah. Talk to the professional.
I don't want
that. Like,
I don't want any part of that.
Go to tax professional for tax advice. Go to stock professional for stock advice. let's you know, go to the people that know what they're doing,
talk
that have invested their life's career in this,
where it worked for them. You know, they know all the information. So,
right.
So back to the high yield savings account. So that's your best way. If you have money in your checking account that is not being used for bills or rent or, you know, for gas or grocery or any other kind of expenses that you have throughout the month, put it away. Get it out of sight. Let it work for you. That 1.5, 1.2, 0.8%, the more you put into that account, the more interest you will accrue over time. So,
right.
So AKA free money.
Free money.
So
put your money to work.
Step number one. Yeah. Let your money work for you, not the other way around. So practical step one after leaving an MLM is put all your money in a high yield savings account that you are not using to pay for to live, basically.
Right.
Second step is to assess any, if any, debt you might have. And then that is where, from that point, you can come up with a good step by step plan in order to
pay it down.
Have it paid off. So, my financial coaches will take to pay down debt. You have the snowball or the avalanche. The snowball that was coined by Dave Ramsey and that guy. So the difference between the two is the snowball method is you are picking the debt. Is my internet going out again?
It's kind of going in and out, but
okay,
snowball method.
The snowball method coined by Dave Ramsey was that you are picking the debt with the lowest balance. So it doesn't matter what interest rate it has. It just has the lowest balance. So if you have three different loans or credit card debt that, you know, like one credit card has a balance of 900, one has 1200 and one has 30,000, you're going to pick the $900 credit card and go and just attack that one first. All extra money you have other than the minimum payment, any extra money goes to that balance until you pay it off. And then you pick the next highest, keep going. So you're attacking it one at a time, basically, as opposed to trying to, but you're still paying the minimums on the other, but
right.
Any extra money is going towards the one. So you can pay it down. Now on the other side, you've got the avalanche method, which I would recommend more so than the snowball, just depending on the situation. But the avalanche is you're picking the debt with the highest interest rate. That is what is costing you the most money over time.
In fees, right.
In interest and in fees. So let's say, for instance, I have student loans. I had three different ones at one point. Now I'm down to two because I paid off one with my taxes last year. So one is a 4.3 and one is a 3.9. So I would pick the 4.3 one to throw any extra money outside of my minimum payment. So if I came across a random $50 that I was gifted for, you know, cleaning houses or something, I would put it to that highest interest rate one and just keep paying it down, because that will eventually bring down your minimums. So you won't be paying as much money over time. So pick a method. What will work the best for you? Stick with it. Just grind it out.
Grind.
So grind it out.
Just grind.
That's the healthy kind of grind. You know, that's
right.
You know, again, you're still allowing yourself in order to take a break when you want to. And if you say, okay, you know, this pay period, like if you're paid biweekly, this pay period, I might let myself go get Taco Bell 3 times instead of 2 times. So like, 1 week, I'll get it twice a week. That
right.
The freedom with personal finance is, or the beauty with personal finance is that it's exactly it. It's personal. It's catered exactly to you. Right. So if you are somebody who doesn't like to grind, you can come up with a plan that will fit your needs, that will fit how your brain reacts to things. And so if trying to hustle and grind and spend every extra dime that you're not spending to live, you know, like rent, utilities, gas, groceries, if that stresses you out, don't do it then. Just do what makes you, you want to pay minimums, if you want to pay a little bit more than the minimums. Nobody's breathing down your neck like an upline.
Right. I mean, and when things are too rigorous, especially when your personality type doesn't fit with that sort of like rigor, like when things are too rigorous, that's when you fall off the wagon. That's when you're like, I'm going to go spend all this money, or I'm going to go buy all these things, because you've denied yourself for so long. Like, again, like you're saying with dieting, like have a slice of chocolate cake, just don't have an extra large slice of chocolate cake, have a small slice of chocolate cake and enjoy it. Enjoy every single bite. And then tomorrow you're back on no more chocolate cake.
Shit, I'm cheating.
Right.
Yeah.
Say, hey, I deserve this chocolate cake. This is delicious. I deserve
to set yourself up with a sustainable plan of action that will set you up for success from the beginning. You know, it will allow you to have these setbacks. Like, what is your backup plan if in case this 1 month you don't put forth the amount of money you were anticipating being able to? What is your backup plan? Okay. So the next month I can put it towards a little more, or a little more towards it. So again, just come up with a plan that is perfect for you. And it does take a lot of trial and error. That's the part. When you sit down to create your first budget, I still have mine. It's on a piece of paper out of a composition notebook that I did just on a whim at a client's house one day. It would be months before I was able to stick to an actual budget. And a lot of people on Instagram will tell you they've been doing it for years and even they mess up.
Right.
So the name of the game is not perfection. The name of the game is action. So messy action.
So find what works for you best and stick to the plan that works best for you. Don't try to fit into spaces that you don't fit. You're not type A. You're not going to be that person that's saving, you know, a $20 bill every single day or whatever you're going to do. Like, find the plan that works for you that you can actually achieve and set reasonable goals.
Right.
That's another thing coming out of MLM, being like, I've seen things where it's like, talk to 70 people a week and you have these astronomical goals that are just so stressful. You don't have to have stressful goals to hit goals. You can have easy goals. And then the next week, the goal is that your goal's a little bigger than it was last week. And the next week, your goal's a little bit bigger until you get to a place where you're comfortable.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes people feel that they have to do so much and they're like, I can't do it because it's so much. And it really isn't. It's only as much as you allow it to be.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. That's exactly it. So and then the last thing I will say about life after MLMs is that if you are able to treat it like you are still in an MLM, like you are still having to set aside money for your auto ship and any products. Now, if you're in a job that has a 401k, open it and put whatever percentage you think of your gross earnings would equal whatever you spent in products. So whether that's 1% or 2%, most companies only match up to 3%, but just whatever you feel is that amount, put that away in a 401k or an IRA. And I'll back up a little bit. So a 401k is an employer sponsored plan. To my knowledge, you can only get a 401k through an employer. And most will match up to 3%. I'm lucky. The company I work for, I thought it was 6, it's actually 5. But you also have the chance to choose between a traditional and a Roth 401k, which there is a big tax difference in when do you want that tax break? Do you want to pay the taxes now with a Roth, or do you want to pay the taxes later with a traditional? So where does the tax break lie for you? Where do you want it? So for me, I would recommend getting a Roth IRA or a Roth 401k because you pay the taxes now. So you're putting in the money post-tax, but you don't have to pay taxes when you withdraw because, you know, taxes when you withdraw, especially for early withdrawal, can be detrimental, especially depending on how much you have in the 401k. I know people who have had to cash out we hear about MLM reps cashing out 401ks. Yeah. I heard a horror story on one of Deanna Mims' videos about a woman.
She's great too. I love her.
I want to say it was like maybe 10 years before her retirement, she cashed out her entire 401k to buy products. And I was like my heart cost
fallacy that she's going to double her money. It's a guaranteed double because all you're going to do is now sell them. And then
I was washing dishes. I was washing dishes as I was listening to that video. And as soon as I heard cashed out her 401k, I dropped the dish and sponge. And I was just like,
oh my gosh. You're like,
oh my God, what? That poor woman just absolutely wrecked her finances. I've heard everything she's worked for.
Yeah. I've heard rumors about that sort of stuff where it's like, they took out their kids' college fund and they spent their kids' college fund.
Never forgive my mother
on that kind of stuff. And it's like, well, my kid's only 7. And so they'll understand because I'm going to be a millionaire in 10 years and I'll be able to pay it back. And then I'll be able to will them my business. So they won't even have to go to college. And it's like,
what does that even mean?
Like what is happening right now? Like,
as a financial coach, what the hell does it mean when you're willing somebody your business?
Because
like, unless you're right? an actual company where you can actually put somebody in the position to be the CEO or the vice president or whatever, how are you going to will somebody a business with your name and your social security number?
It's very strange, right? I think
you
basically just, I think what it is it's basically you're transferring the ownership of your pyramid where you're at the top to someone else, as opposed to when you die, it would be like, well, they're dead and everything rolls up. It would be that you can have that little plot open for someone else to come in and make that residual income and continue on with the business. It's very predatory, I think, as well, because it's not a willed business where you're like, oh, my mom died and I get her Mary Kay business and I'm going to get all the money. Like, you now then become the Mary Kay rep and continue the business. You're not getting anything other than the option to not start at the bottom, I think.
Yeah. And you don't even get like the commissions as an inheritance.
It's
I don't think.
Ridiculous. No, I don't
Somebody's
think it
gonna
has
have
anything.
To explain that to
I don't think it has anything to do with any like inheritance. I don't think it would be, but again, I'm not like even a probate lawyer. I wouldn't know how to
like, if you really want to build something to give to your child, open a custodial or a, you know, a 529 and just contribute to it and build your own generational wealth so that you can have an account that would equal, you know, 50, 100, 150, 200, $300,000 so that when you die, you can list them as the beneficiary and bam, you just,
and there you go. You just
money.
Willed them
without the nasty, without the mechanics of the nasty MLM.
I do.
Like
I wanted to
that's
say,
all you have to do.
Yeah. I thought it's really good advice that you said for those that are coming out of an MLM that already set aside that money that they're like, well, I can't spend that $100 because that's for this, to just take that money and to put it into a savings like that, where you're still putting that same amount of money that you would have bought your auto ship with, but now you're putting it into like a Roth, which is a better option for me because I'm definitely the kind of person, like if they're like, would you like us to take taxes out now? I'm like, yes, check that box.
Yeah.
because I'm
make it easier on yourself.
I'm not going to want to deal with that later. So just go ahead, and take it out now. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Like just take the dirty work off. Just
yeah. Let's do that it. Now.
Yeah. I don't want to sit up for 3 hours having to deduct manually. I don't really don't. So you can just do it now.
So I know you're not a tax professional.
That's pretty much all the advice. Oh, go ahead.
But what is your business and financial advice for the friends listening about MLM and taxes and how they just say, take a percentage? Like, that was so convoluted and confusing to me. And again, like, as somebody who would rather pay in the beginning or set aside in the beginning, I was like, when I talked to my CPA, she was like, okay, what do you have any tax advice? I've never found the same tax advice from the same two people. So I'm just curious what someone who actually knows finances would say.
All right. So we all know that, first of all, they are absolutely lying when they say whatever they're making a year, because mm-hmm. those checks that are dropping into your account, that's your gross earning. That's right. Not your net earning. That is your gross earning. So when I see all these reps saying I'm building a six-figure business, it's like, oh, sweet, you're not. Because right. if you were, you would genuinely not have to do this over and over again.
Right.
Because right. you have been building it on the backside so that you don't have to do this again. But you're not. What you're doing is you are income. You're immediately turning around and having to buy more products. Because like I said, I still follow on one of my old burner accounts. I still follow a bunch of the uppers, the higher ups. And the amount that I've calculated that they spend on products, that fucking keto coffee costs like $40 for 15 packs.
Yeah. I saw that the other day.
And you
that
get
dehydrated celery is like $48 for a tub.
And you see them buying like 3 bags of the keto coffee every month because they're drinking like 2 or 3 cups of it a day. I'm like, hunty. So here's my rule of thumb. For every $1,000 that an MLM, for every 4 figures that an MLM rep claims to be making, they spend 3 figures
right.
on products. So for every 5 figures they claim they make, they're spending 4 figures on products. For every 6, 5.
Mm-hmm.
Because in order to have that big team, in order to be that leader, in
you
order
to maintain that rank,
you have to maintain the rank, which means you have to buy the products because
every month.
And they say, oh, I just use these products for me. You know, I just use these. I'm like, okay, so just buy them whenever you want. Don't buy them every month. But I'm gonna use it so much.
So why not just buy it now? Because I'm gonna use it.
So,
and I have to buy something. So taxes, I might as well buy the thing I'm gonna use.
Yeah. Right. So my advice for taxes in an MLM, number one, fucking pay them. If you're making as much money as you say you are, you have to pay your taxes. I think it's if you make more than $600 in a calendar year, you have to pay taxes on them, which means you're going to get a 1099 on it. Right. The rule of thumb generally for self-employment or any 1099, you know, contractor job is that you have to set aside 30 to 40% for taxes immediately. So like any business owner you see, like myself, charging whatever amount we charge, right. that's because we already automatically lose 30% of it
30%
to taxes. So my advice would be calculate whatever you are making. Big, beautiful German Shepherd just walked right up to my window and I'm just like, hello. Okay. I'm surprised I can't. There he is. Because we have a giant ass crack in our door and my dog can see through it. So bad. Right. Anyway, so back to that. So be safe and be smart with your taxes because the IRS, much like John Oliver put it best when he was talking about FIFA coming in and doing World Cups right. in countries and leaving them in financial ruin. Think of the IRS as this really hot wax strip being put on a very sensitive area of your body. They will come into every crevice of your life if you are audited, and they'll find a way to get their money back. They will garnish your wages. They will set you up on payment plan. They will find you, and they will make your life a living hell if you do not properly pay your taxes, or if you don't pay them at all. Again, I love the history fun fact. Al Capone murdered half of Chicago in a matter of years. And they
couldn't touch him.
They couldn't touch him. They put him away on tax evasion.
Right.
That is how serious the government takes their taxes.
There's been some stuff like that happened with CEOs of MLMs, and the only way that they've been able to get them in jail, it was tax fraud and things like that, because it's so protected on the other side.
Yeah.
That when they slip up in the money aspect, the IRS is all, hey, we can criminally prosecute. So we're gonna, but the FTC can't criminally prosecute.
No, they have to hand it over to the actual prosecuting authorities, but
that tax fraud stuff is for real, for serious.
And you know, it's something that is very difficult to come back from if you are not prepared. Again, my business coach, he has never been audited, but he is so rock solid in his tax preparation that if he does get audited, he's good to go. He's got all the information. So that is what I recommend. Get yourself an account. If you are very adamant about staying in an MLM, no shame. Do you just keep
know the facts.
This is also my advice outside of taxes. Just be smart and remain as effective as possible.
Follow
keep
the money.
A running spreadsheet of all your expenses. And at the end of every month, if you are spending considerably more than you are making, objectively, it is time to walk away.
Yes, that's what I say too.
They're not always going to come to that conclusion. You're going to leave your MLM ultimately whenever you want, or when it inevitably gets shut down. You know, because that's the other thing. These MLMs, you are a 1099. You are not an owner. You are not a legal representative. You are not a franchisee. You are an independent contractor. Right. At will, they can get rid of you whenever they want, and the MLM can go down at any point. And if you don't have any savings, if you have not prepared for this, if you have fallen victim to what I call lifestyle inflation, that's the other thing I'm going to talk about. If you are adamant about staying in an MLM, do not fall into the trap of what we see all the time, lifestyle inflation. The second those girls start making coin, all of a sudden they need to start getting eyelash extensions. They go get bi-weekly acrylic nail manicures. They get facials every month. They start upgrading their cars to, you know, their dream cars, top of the line. They start buying bigger houses. Like one upline that I, even while I was in It Works, I just grew to hate her on a very personal level. The one with the long blonde hair. I'm not going to drop a name, but you know who I'm talking about. Long blonde hair. Conceited motherfucking bitch. That's how I felt about her. But she and her husband went from a $1.9 million house, because of course she had to put the amount that they spent on the house that they built. Because of this, we were able to build our dream $1.9 million home over here. And then they built another one the next year that was even bigger. And then they built another one the next year that was even bigger. So now I'm pretty sure they live in like a 12 bedroom, 3-story mansion. It's ridiculous. So
it's that prosperity gospel too, like that MLMs are so deeply seated, and it, because the religious undertones of MLM, and it's so deeply seated, that's all prosperity gospel. Like I saw it in LuLaRoe, like if you are so like Jesus and God is going to bless you because you work so hard and you do so much and you are so good. So God is going to bless you in your business. And so you need to then share it, because you have to share your blessings with everyone to show everyone how much God has blessed you. I mean, it's so in every MLM, that prosperity gospel of like, once you're successful, you have to then buy the things that people perceive as success and then flaunt it to prove to everyone that you are in fact as successful as you are claiming, to then again, recruit more people into the scheme.
Whether or not you could actually afford it. I have been working on a spreadsheet on and off for the past 3 months of Monate, the girls claiming that the car is free. Been working on a spreadsheet of what every single model of Cadillacs, from like the cheapest to the most expensive, every single Cadillac model from 2016 on, what would it cost every month outside of maintenance, outside of gas? What does just the car payment cost if you have this credit score, if you put down this much? And
I can't wait to see this.
Oh my God, it's a mess.
And then how much they have to spend to get that free car.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that what they spend to get that quote unquote free car is a lot more than if they had just leased the car without the MLM.
And that's another thing. Don't ever lease a car. Don't ever lease a car. It is the most, that's one thing that Dave Ramsey and I do agree on. Don't ever lease a car. Just buy it.
Right.
Just buy it, because leasing is the worst way to rent a car.
Right.
You have to perfectly accurately guess how many miles you're going to drive it in however many years you have it. And if you go over or under, or if you go over it especially, you got to pay that difference. And it's a lot. So if you're somebody like an MLMer who loves to drive everywhere, because guess what? I own my own time and I can just get up in the morning and I can just drive 5 hours away.
So much financial freedom that I can just go have a donut 5 hours away, because this was really good on Instagram and I needed to get it.
I have the freedom to drive 6 hours one way to help a girl host a rap party. I remember reading that one time and I was like,
that doesn't sound like freedom to me. Sounds like you're driving 6 hours to help somebody out in your scam more people.
So
there's a great video. My friend sent it to me today, and it's a TikTok, and I kind of want to send it to you now because I feel like you'd be the perfect person to like do a reaction. I love your reaction videos. And like when you respond to people, but like this girl, it was a reaction to someone that was like, hey boss babes, if you're really making this much money, show me your tax returns. And the girl responded, and instead of showing her tax return, she just started like picking up all her stuff, like her Louis and her Chanel bag and her like Gucci sunglasses. And she's like loading everything up. And then she was like, and I'm like, you didn't show us any, like, so how do I know that? Did you buy that?
That literally could have been on a credit card.
Did you buy that on a credit card? Did you buy that with cash?
Did you get that Louis from the Louis Vuitton outlet store?
Yeah, was it an outlet? Did you buy it used? Did you buy it refurbed? Like, there was nothing. And it was so gross. And I was just like, my friend sent it to me this morning and she sends me all these things. And I was just like, oh my God, like, it's so, what?
I've been
like, that's so cringy for this girl to look at later. Lucky you.
That's the other thing, is when is the moment where these girls finally look back on the years they spent, if they end up leaving the MLM, you know, because some of them are
lifers.
I don't know if it's just that they are choosing, or I'm pretty sure once you get to a certain, and I do remember hearing about this with another MLM, I'm not sure if it was with ItWorks, but I'm pretty sure if you get higher, like high up enough, they make you sign a no compete contract.
Yes.
So like you are required to stay with them and not.
And for like a certain amount of years, like, yeah, you can't go to any other MLM that would be a competing MLM for a certain amount of years. So you could go, like, if you're selling vitamin shakes. Yeah, I mean, why does a business need to have something like that? It seems like it's a cult, like even more proof that it's a cult. Businesses don't do that. Target, if I worked at Target, they're not going to be like, you need to sign this because you can't work anywhere but Target. I'd be like, what? I'm going to go now. Like,
yeah, I'm not signing my life away to this.
So like, even like the segue of TikTok and the video that I was sent this morning, you have a great video, and we even talked about it a second ago, but The when you should leave your MLM video. Like, I love that where you're like all the things and you're like, or whenever you want to, but like every single point you made is a great point as to why you should leave your MLM. Like, it's taking up too much of your time. You're emotionally taxed. Your mental health can't handle it anymore. And again, the whole point is you can leave whenever you want to, but those things, like, I don't think a lot of people realize that those are very common things that most people who are leaving an MLM experience.
Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like a fraud trying to sell these weight loss I really don't mean this on a personal level, but I suffer from eating disorders on and off, and I really was in college. So I had gained a little bit of weight after having a relapse with an eating disorder. So I was stuck in this mindset of like, I'm fat and I need these weight loss products to work.
Which you're not, you're working. Gorgeous. So stop that right there.
Thank you. But that was one of the things that I started to notice, right? Was just like, I'm not losing weight. So like, these products aren't working. Why am I still selling them? You know, I'm right. Still 165 pounds, which for 5'6" is fine, but you know, being an athlete, whatever.
Right. But they make you feel bad about it. I mean, they manipulate you.
Yeah. To make it feel like
every horrible thing that you already think about yourself when you look in the mirror, the MLM is like, we think it too. And we can fix it.
Beachbody. Fuck Beachbody. I'm sorry.
We think it about you as well. Don't worry. We can fix it though. Like, if you want to, how much money do you have? How fast can we fix you?
Oh God. How much are you willing to spend on this pre-workout and all these workout programs, which workout programs should be free.
I think so too.
That's the other thing, is if you know that you are selling something you could get for far cheaper or you could get it for free, fucking leave.
Right. But then the MLM says is, well, our stuff is science backed, or it's, you know, like, we've done all this extra research that proves that this is better, and you're paying a premium because it's a higher quality. Those are all lies. None of that is true. They're just saying that to get you to pay more money. And you believe it because you trust them, because you're in a cult.
Right. Something I learned very early on as a history major in college, always, always, always consider your source.
Yeah.
Who is saying that this stuff is revolutionary?
Right.
So like Monate, for example, they're always saying that they are backed by the National Hair Loss Association.
God.
It is a company.
It's a company
that Monate literally started
organization. No.
To sell Monate products. They literally say it on their website.
And the website, Truth About Monate, is also run by Monate.
So always consider your source. Who is saying it and what was their motivation? So for me, for transparency, you're not paying me for this.
No,
I am on this call because I am that passionate about it to tell your listeners.
Right.
And I'm not saying that because you should be grateful that I'm gracing you with my presence. I'm saying that you have to consider your source whenever you are making all these claims. Like, why is this person driving a brand new Cadillac Escalade, carrying a Louis Vuitton, wearing Gucci belt, living in a mansion? Why are they telling you to join?
Yeah.
Why?
Because they're making money off of you.
Why are they taking time out of their busy day of doing nothing because they have such financial freedom? Why do they want you to join?
Exactly.
Why do they want you to buy these products?
And I will say, full transparency, I do make about a penny for every time someone listens to my podcast. So if you guys want to buy me a coffee, listen to it like 500 times and then share it with your friends too. Cause that's about it. So like, man, I wish I had the money to pay these people to talk to me, but we all have the same collective message that we just really want people to know. I love the anti-MLM community for that.
I've
felt so much more
such
solidarity with these people than I ever did in multi-level marketing. Even the mean ones in the anti-MLM I like better.
That's what I was about to say. You will get some of those ones that do take the message a little too far, call people names, and are just generally a little shameful in their approach. Which, I mean, if that's you, go for it, whatever. But I'm not here to try to antagonize people. I mean, sometimes I do get into very heated debates on TikTok, leaving me to get blocked.
Yes.
Because they start saying, what was it? One girl left a comment. She was like, well, I mean, obviously you didn't make money in Limelight by Upfront. Your makeup looks like shit. And I was like,
what other business? What like, other business you, uses insulting and bullying, shaming as a way to like prove a point besides multi-level marketing? Like there
is. Well, you live in a trailer, sweetheart. What do you know about financial freedom? That was one of my favorites was you live in a house that's literally falling apart. What right do you have to tell people about financial freedom? The fact that this house was the only thing I could afford on $11 an hour. So the fact that I'm able to afford with my boyfriend on $11 an hour should tell you something, sweetheart.
Jeez.
So sometimes I will admit, I will let my emotions get the best of me because that fight or flight kicks in. Yeah. I don't ever mean to be mean, but sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes everybody has their breaking point. And
I match energy.
I even had a breaking point and I would, there was this thread and people were just going off and they were being so horrible. And it's an anti-MLM group. And I was like, maybe I need to leave these groups because they're getting really toxic. And I was like, hey, look, like I really would love a cohesive message. Like I put in so many years in this movement and I really hate seeing it like washed down the drain because people are mean on this side. Like I'm trying to expose the insidiousness and with compassion and education, can we have more of a cohesive message? And some girl's like, you can't gatekeep anti-MLM. You didn't start this movement. And I was just like, are you for real right now?
One more person say gatekeep. I swear to God.
I said, are you for real?
People just like, learn words.
I'm not gatekeeping anti-MLM. I'm trying to actually make a difference. These people complain, I hate getting all these messages from Huns. And I was like, I'm trying to stop it. Like, I'm trying.
In the way that we know how to, just present facts.
Help me out. Present facts. Educate. Don't shame. Shaming doesn't work. I mean, it is cathartic, I will say. And I have talked to other people on the podcast about this is you really do go through those levels of grief when you leave an MLM, like denial and anger and bargaining and acceptance, and you go through it. So even when I left, I was like, rah, 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 stupid. Rah, rah. And I did the whole thing. I didn't do it so publicly. I did it in like an anti LuLaRoe group. So I do understand going through those stages of grief, but understand that at the end, like we all want to get to the point where these businesses aren't doing what they're doing anymore and that people aren't joining them. We know we can't end these businesses. They're too protected, but we can hopefully prevent people from joining by getting professional advice from people like you and people like people that are coming on the show later on in this season, experts that have devoted a lot of time and energy to knowing what they're talking about and not just Googling it and going, I know the answer. It's like, you really have put a lot of your time and your energy and your personal self into your business and knowing what you're talking about and wanting to help people be better and not just being like, MLM
is
bad.
How you brand yourself.
Idiot. You know, like, come on, like, let's find the positivity that is in MLM. And use it to be better as we leave and help those that are where we were as well, you know?
Right.
I think that's the whole point of this.
And also just be open to having, I mean, sometimes I don't like it, but sometimes I pride myself on being somebody who enjoys having diplomatic two-sided conversations, you know?
Totally. Oh my gosh. I love it. My best friend and I, he's one of the only people that I can talk politics. We have very different opinions on many things. And it does get heated, but we never call each other names and we never, and I sometimes come away from them going, you know, you didn't change my mind, but you showed me a perspective that I never thought of before. And I'd never put myself in that shoes because that's never a place that I've been, but I see it from your side now. And I understand why you support this or don't support this. And right. I think if we could just have that conversation more, so many people, they feel like they're backed into a corner. And instead of trying to just converse, they attack, well, you're fat. Yeah. You're like, okay.
Or my personal favorite. Cool. I am happy to talk to anybody. Let's have a conversation.
And you have it. You're told that you're fat and ugly.
The second you bring up any objective statistics, well, you
that's just your opinion.
That's your opinion. No, ma'am. That is an FTC statistic.
I'm like, that is
statistics
a statistic.
Have no room for opinions. Again,
well, that is
I am
a factual
not
bit of information. That is not my opinion.
Again,
I agree with it, but that is not my opinion.
Exactly. I'm not a logical and rational person 100% of the time. I'm right. Very fluid, you know,
yes.
I'm not a by the numbers person, but I do understand where opinions have no place.
Right. And I respect science.
Have
I respect statistics.
No place for opinions.
And exactly. If you can prove this fact wrong, let's go. But this is a fact and you can't. So
like, I hate Ben Shapiro. I hate his approach. I hate how he talks to people, but he is right.
It's a little misogynistic, but yes, he has points. There are a
facts
lot of people out there that I do not
feelings.
Like, and I'm like, they make a good point and I don't like them and I don't agree with them 99% of the time, but there are people out there that their opinions sometimes do have valid points. We're like, okay, I will give you that one. There were times, again, in our last administration and administrations in the past, when policies happened that I didn't agree with, and then something would happen that I did agree with, and I would be like, I got to give it to them. They did something that was good. Still not a fan, but they did something that was good. That was a good thing. And I think a lot of times we really do need to put away, I'm right. This is my opinion and my opinion is right. For this is my opinion and that is your opinion. And it's okay. And we don't have to agree. We don't have to fight for no reason. We can share,
people
have open discussion. I'm not attacking you when I'm trying to educate you. I'm just trying to educate you.
Right. And I'm very sorry if it seems like I'm coming off attacking. I promise I'm not.
Right.
I'm just very passionate about
it. Very passionate.
And my delivery might be wrong and I'll work on that, you know, but the point still stands. People just need to be more willing just to kind of move the conversation forward.
Exactly.
The only way that I feel like we are going to actually accomplish what we need to accomplish, and the only way that we are going to really get our facts across, is if we are all willing to have those two-sided conversations. So like, MLM reps, get over yourself for a second and just hear us out.
You're not an expert. $99 does not make you an expert.
Yeah, like we're not here to degrade, at least most of us are not. We're not here to shame you. We're not here to make you feel stupid. We're mainly here to just, it's like when you are approaching somebody with a drinking problem, you're not trying to shame them and be like, I hope you die, you know?
Right.
Here are the facts of what alcohol addiction does to a person's body physiologically, what it does to their mind mentally, what it does to their relationships, what it does to their money. Do with this information what you will. I can't force you to quit. It wouldn't work that way. I can't drag you to rehab. You know, I can't do this. I can't do that. You have to come to the conclusion all on your own.
Right.
So whether that is that moment, the next day, the next week, the next year, years from now, if the message has stuck with you, then the job is done.
Exactly.
Whether they did it in a mean way or a polite way, if the message is getting across, I mean, obviously don't do it in a mean way. Don't say like, you're fucking stupid for going into an MLM, but you know, just say like, I feel like it's going to be a mistake. You might prove me wrong. You might be the 0.001% that comes out an actual millionaire and can prove it on your tax returns. From an MLM, but
say I wish you well.
To happen,
I say I wish
you
well.
I'm not going to support you.
That's not the normal result, but I do wish you well, and I hope that you don't lose money. And if you ever have questions, please come find me, and I'm willing to talk to you about them in a very neutral space. You know,
I'm happy
because
to
people aren't
from a
people
distance,
don't
want do to
hear that
to
they're doing
products.
The wrong thing. They don't like to hear that. But when they start to see it, and they go, "Oh my God, that girl on Facebook was right." Oh. Come to me or come to Kat and be like, you were right. And I heard the podcast and can I ask you a couple
questions?
What do
I do now? Yeah.
you know, because we want to help, you know, obviously we have businesses outside of wanting to help people, and those can turn into that. If you decide to have Kat be your coach, great, but reach out to her. She's got a free, a thing. You can go on her website and check it out and talk to her, and she can help you out and figure out what you want to do with your money. Which leads me to another thing that I wanted to bring up. You have a great TikTok on your TikTok, a great video about what to do with $600, because that's when the stimulus was coming out. So who knows what stimulus is, may or may not be coming, or tax returns is even a good thing that'll be hitting bank accounts here pretty soon. But your video was really great. Came out right around the same time. Break that down for people here about better things to do with your tax return, stimulus, inheritance, anything than joining an MLM. Give us a couple of them.
Okay. So a couple of them were actually kind of like, it would be safer for you.
Right. Some of them were definitely funny.
Like you're like, light it on fire, or shove it down the garbage disposal, or, you know, toss it into the wind. You know, obviously those are jokes, and whatever, like cut it up with a piece of, like with a pair of scissors. But for true actual financial advice,
I appreciate the best the humor, thing by
for
the way.
You it's the only way I can't not be humorous at some
right.
points.
I know if I don't laugh I cry
not, but exactly. Oh my god, you just described my life. So for real actual financial advice, is again, it goes back to personal finance. What are your goals? What are you working on? So if you have no debt, put it all in savings. If you have no savings, start a savings account. If you want something, treat yourself to it. Don't use the whole thing, because you know that's one time money and it's gone. But do something with it to where it will work for you. So use it to accomplish whatever goals you have. So if you want to put it towards buying a house, if you want to use it as a down payment on a car, or if you need a new computer or something, use it to somehow elevate yourself. Now, don't feel bad if you don't do that, but don't join an MLM with it, because it's all going to go. It's all going to be gone. But
don't join anything where people are like, you have money? Come over here.
And Kiki Chanel put it exactly right. When scammers know you have money coming, they will sniff it out, and they'll do anything they can to get it from you. Yes. So you will see girls going on their Instagrams right around now saying, hey, it's tax season. So, you know, you're going to be getting back money that you should have gotten. So this is like amazing. You should invest
free money
in your own business. And I'm like, no, first of all, sweetheart, it is not free money. It is your own money that the government
is giving back to you.
Giving back to you.
Because you gave them too much.
Yes, because you gave them too much. So it's not free money, and neither is the stimulus check. But again, it goes back to just assess your life, assess your situation, and just figure out how it could best suit you. So again, if you have no debt, put it towards savings. If you have no savings, put it towards savings. Or use it like I did. I use my stimulus check to start my business. You know, if you really do want to start a true side hustle that is not an MLM, find ways to hire a VA, you know, a social media marketer, the same thing. But, you know, just research based on your situation, what would be the best way to elevate yourself so that. Or if you have no debt and you're good on savings, open an IRA and put more money towards there. And by the way, I was going to mention earlier with the 401k and the IRAs. So they do have IRAs for self-employed people. Those are the SEP IRAs. And 401ks and IRAs have contribution limits. So for 401ks, you can only contribute, you can contribute up to $19,500 in a calendar year. And that doesn't count the employer matches. So again, we go back to that anywhere from 1% to 5%, mostly free. That's extra money on top of the money that you contributed all the way up to the limit. So if you've maxed out those contributions, move on to the next account. If you don't have another account, open one. So max out your 401k, max out your IRA, which is $6,000 a year, and then move on to an SEP. Just max out until you can't max out anymore. And start young. Like I had to counsel a girl at work because I'm technically HR and benefits administration. That's part of my job. So I was telling her, because she's 21, start now. Like right. Open a 401k now. And since you live with your parents and you're not paying rent and you know you don't have any bills right now, contribute the full 5%. The full 5%. Because that is going to set you up for such success.
But even people like me who are middle-aged, I just turned 40 the other day. So I'm like, oh my God.
I'm so sorry. Just the way you leaned into that and like breathlessly middle-aged.
Like I said, if I don't laugh, I cry, right? I'm like, it's either I'm 40 or I'm 40. So
oh my God.
I joke about it. I don't look a day over 23. We're good.
I was about to say, I would have taken you for like 29.
One of my followers was like, wait, you're 40? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, I thought you were like in your 20s in the Vice documentary. I was like, no, I was 37 in that thing. Like,
no. You were in the Vice documentary?
The LuLaRoe Vice documentary.
Shut up. Okay. Yeah. Now I need to watch it. Yeah. I watched a part of it, but yeah,
I'm the world's okayest mom in the yellow sweater. That's me. You'll see. Cause like when you watch it, you're like, oh my God, I just talked to her for 2 hours. Like, how did I don't tell people that. Like, I'm like, I don't really want to be famous for that, but like, I kind of am. So
yeah, unfortunately.
People are like, wait, you did a thing. And I was like, yeah, I didn't tell you about it. Yeah.
It's just one of those things that I hope would kind of die away and people wouldn't see.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
So people, older that maybe I've been self-employed my whole entire life. And, you know, maybe those of us that wanted to start savings or had to dip into savings or depleted savings while in MLM. What about us? What's the best way for those of us that are a little closer to retirement? What's the best way for people that are middle-aged to start working toward that? What's your best advice?
Same thing I would tell somebody who's 21. Start.
Just start. Just do it.
Just do it. Just start. Talk to a broker. Talk to somebody that can help you. Important piece of advice. Natural advice. If you are finding a broker or anybody to work with you on your finances and stuff, make sure they are what is called a fiduciary. That means that they are legally required to act in your best interest, which means they have to upfront how much they make in commission on every transaction. They can't go against wishes. So they can't, if you say you don't want to invest, like pester you, no is no.
Right. No so means no.
With literally, it is somebody. Okay. It is literally somebody who is there for you.
Okay.
Not only in the sense that you are paying them to be there for you, but they are actually acting in your best interest. They are assessing the goal you've given them. I want to retire by this age. I need to contribute this much. I know that this particular, especially like within an IRA, I heard that index funds are a good way to start because they're low cost, low risk. And you're getting pieces of different companies instead of buying one stock. So like one share of Amazon right now, I think is like $3,000.
Yeah.
Same with Tesla, because they are two of the most successful companies in the world. Right. Now, obviously I'm not about to drop $3,000 on one share, but I will happily drop $3,000 on an ETF that includes Amazon or Tesla. That's still a little sliver of it.
Right.
But I didn't pay as much for it. Sure. I'm not going to get as much of a return on it as the rich motherfuckers who spend, you know, thousands of dollars a day for day trading. Right. That's not what I would do.
Right.
I'm in it for the long game.
Not as high risk, lower risk,
especially
the longer return in the end.
Investing is a long-term game, low and slow. Don't panic when the market drops. March 2020, I had to tell so many people, do not sell and do not cash out your 401ks. The market will come back. It will. Okay. Now, for people who were about a year away from retirement, it's a little different. And obviously every situation is different, but you know, if you're still far enough away out, like for you, you know, you said you're 40, you're still a good way away from retirement. Right. I mean, if you want to be, if you want to make 65 that, you know, coveted year of retirement, you still have plenty of time.
Right.
25 years is not too long, but it's also not too short. You know what I'm talking about? Right. It's what you make of it. So the best advice is just start.
Just start.
Don't day doing all your research. Just call somebody at either like TD Ameritrade or Fidelity or Charles Schwab or Prudential. Just find companies
and stay away from the MLM ones, these Primericas and these World Financial Groups, and stay away from all of these because those are all MLMs.
Oh, I forgot. I took a life insurance.
She's holding a picture. She's holding up her Primerica exam prep review material packet.
I was very briefly, I forgot all about this. I also fucking joined Primerica because I was talking with a guy that took my dream to be a financial coach and used it against me.
And exploited you in a manipulative way. How unlike multi-level marketing to do that. How weird. I've never heard of that before.
I mean, he's a great guy and I'm not going to say his name, but.
Right. So and he's also been lied to.
This, like
my cousin was lied to, so like your friend was lied to, and everyone is lied to.
So like, there are no feelings of animosity towards any of the people who recruited me. Like none of them.
Again, like the Hun shaming. These are people that have been lied and lied and lied and believe this falsified utopian promise that it's just physically impossible to, even if everybody did their job, it still would be almost not even possible to happen the way it's supposed to happen. It is so like reliant on perfection, which we know doesn't exist, that anything aside from perfection in multi-level marketing is a losing game.
Right. And we're not in that world anymore.
No,
we're not. We're coming out of, it's okay to say no. It's okay to gain weight. It's okay that you don't want to hang out with your friends 99% of the time. You can establish boundaries. We're coming out of
it's
this.
It's all right to have a margarita
culture.
At 2 o'clock on a Wednesday, as long as you don't have a problem with it, it's okay to take the edge off if you need to.
As long
it's
as you're
okay
being responsible.
To take a nap in the middle of the day if you need it. It's okay to treat yourself to something that you wanted for a long time. It's okay. And again, like you said, the caveat of being responsible. If you don't have, if you're not able to be responsible, then don't take that advice. Everything should be done in moderation and responsibly. No more extremes of MLM. No more extremes of MLM. Like being on the other side of MLM, so many things for me, I was like, that's not even a big deal. Like why was that such a big deal to me? And why was I so stressed out about certain things? And I think again, like it takes time to come out. PTSD from multi-level marketing is incredibly real. And you know,
it's like leaving an abusive relationship because you think you need to be hustling 24/7 or else
it's okay to take that time.
Truth be told, I mean, the most money I made in my financial coaching business, I did because I set up a lot of stuff on the backside, like on the front end of it, to automate.
Right.
And I didn't put as much, I didn't fake anything. I was completely transparent, everything. Like, yes, I live in a trailer. Yes, I'm in debt too. Yes, I'm not perfect. Yes, I still slip up and spend too much on coffee sometimes.
But you started.
I am perfectly willing to admit it, but I started.
You started.
And you can too. You can too. Like, I'm not out here pretending to be like I'm a millionaire and that I just never make any mistakes. And that I'm always working 24/7. Like, no, even in the heyday of when I was building, I was working 7 days a week. I gave myself time off. Like, I cut off 7 o'clock every night, laptop shut, go out of the office, close the doors, go spend time with the boyfriend and the puppy. Cause you're allowed to.
Right. You're allowed
you
to.
Are allowed to.
You're allowed to take that time. You're allowed to take time off and close the social media and put your phone in the bedroom on the charger and say, you know what, for the next 2 hours, it's just me and you, and there's No other distractions. It's okay. It's really okay. The text messages will be there. The missed calls will be there. The messages from people that want something from you will be there, and you can get back to them tomorrow at a normal time. You don't need to be on 24/7.
Establish boundaries. Boundaries. It's okay to join an MLM if you want. And that's pretty much my key takeaway of all of this, because I know you want to kind of wrap it up pretty soon. So my key takeaway is it's okay if you want to make it. If you want to join an MLM, that's fine. Just make sure you have all the information
before
you join, so that you are not, so that you don't feel blindsided by anything. Just walk in knowing that you're going to be spending more than you're going to make in the beginning. I mean, every business does that. And that's exactly what the MLM reps are going to tell you. Every business up front requires a deposit. And that's true. They are absolutely right. But most businesses, once you get to a point where you're able to even everything out, you don't have to put
You don't have to continuously be putting money back in. There's a small bit in the beginning when you start your own business or you work. Like, even if you worked at McDonald's, you're going to have to buy your uniform and your non-slip shoes. But McDonald's isn't going to be like, 6 months later being like, how come you haven't brought a bunch of your friends to work here too and buy their non-slip shoes? McDonald's isn't going to do that to you. McDonald's is going to give you a paycheck and is going to say, thank you for working this many hours. You made this much an hour. Here's your paycheck. See you tomorrow. MLMs aren't like that. Corporate America is not an MLM. Corporate America is not a pyramid scheme. You know, I'm going to need to do an entire episode on the business. That's something. I'm going to do an entire episode on the business differences between MLM and like every other kind of business, so that we could be like, for once and for all, anytime's like, it is, you go, just listen to this hour long podcast. Like, she breaks it down. Like, there's no more questions involved here. I need to do that.
Yes, the CEO makes all the money. He or she makes the most significant salary. You know why? Because when someone calls the CEO and says, hey, you need to come in, we need help. Or the board says you need to go
in. He actually has a job. He does something. He takes responsibility.
He has to go in. He or she has to go in. But as an entry-level employee, if you're called on your day off, you can say no.
It's something like... you know, like 99.7% of people lose money in multi-level marketing, but it's only like 35% of businesses that fail.
Right.
Like it is. And you think like, oh, but the statistic is like, it is like 2/3 better decision to start your own business than to join an MLM. You have a 2/3 of a better chance at making money. I mean, you have a better chance of making money at sticking money in a slot machine too, but that's a, you know, that's something for another day.
Buy a lottery ticket.
Right. Buy a lottery ticket. You have a better chance. Okay. So this is the last thing. These are rapid fire questions, really quick ones, just MLM versions. I'm going to shoot them out to you. You just tell me the first thing that you think. All right.
All right.
Okay. One word that encompasses how you feel about MLM.
Ugh. how I feel about MLMs. Animosity.
I'm like, how do you spell that? That's a great word.
E-U-G-H.
One warning to somebody who really wants to join an MLM and is really hell-bent on joining. What's one warning you would give them?
Surround yourself by people you know you can trust.
That's a good one.
Inside or out.
Right.
Inside or out.
Have that circle of trust. And
Let those people keep you accountable. Outside of the MLM, so that when you're not working, if you decide to set, if you're going to go against the grain and give yourself boundaries and, you know, give yourself time off, give yourself a nice circle of people who, it's like at every other job. Don't make friends with coworkers. You're there to make money. Have your friends and family so that we can establish that line. Don't let the lines become blurred. That's the advice.
Don't blur those lines between your family and friends, who you should trust and who you shouldn't trust, and what their motivations are if you're confused.
Yep.
Worst MLM in your opinion?
Beachbody. Okay. Well, let me expand on my. I hate the message that Beachbody sends.
The fat shaming.
As a company.
And the diet the culture.
But Monet reps are the worst for being nasty and catty.
Oh yeah, they are really nasty. I don't know why. Hardest lesson that you learned while in MLM?
Facts don't care about your feelings.
Facts don't care about your feelings. And one positive takeaway that you use now in your life that you learned from MLM, something that you use to this day that you learned.
Just opening myself on social media and being ready to, because that at the end of the day, that was what you were doing in MLMs, is you were making friends. And I enjoyed that aspect of it. I love meeting people. I'm very outgoing and extroverted. I mean, not all the time. I need time to, you know, recuperate, but I love meeting new people, expanding my circle, learning new. I love that. That's my bread and butter. Yeah. So just being open to introduce myself on social media and just make more friends or just have more acquaintances. Love it.
That was something I experienced too. Like I was less afraid to approach strangers. And I have that now, like I'm just more confident in myself. I'm like, yeah, I can do this. That's not that scary. I've done that.
And you're not having to dread the sales pitch. You can drive this person and get to know.
There's no anxiety of the sales pitch after the initial hello anymore. You're just like, hello, it's nice to meet you. I have no ulterior motives at all other than saying hello. Yeah, exactly. I like that too. Well, thank you so much for spending your Saturday with me. I just, you're so lovely. And it was just wonderful to actually see you, like, and not just on Facebook and TikTok, but to actually converse with you. And
yay.
You gave us so much valuable information. And I think it's really important to talk about how MLM affects all lives and all walks of life and all the different careers and industries. MLM affects all of it.
Can you cut like portions of what I say and like move them?
Possibly. I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
My other piece of advice for when you know that it's time to leave an MLM is when you are hiding your spending, you're having to hide the bank statements from your spouse or your parents.
Ooh, that is an incredibly good point. When you are hiding the spending from the people that really, you know, are the ones that are keeping you accountable. When you start hiding that stuff, for sure. When it becomes more about sneaky and covering your tracks than actually running a business, yeah, it's time to go, for sure.
It's time. It's either time to own up to it or it's time to walk away.
Have that conversation. So. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And I'd be happy to expand more on, you know, the relationship part of it again, like in another episode.
Yeah. I love talking. I was like, it's probably better that I don't have a YouTube channel because people are like, this is really boring. I just cut it.
Right.
I cut everything into like 1 hour segments. So I'm like, if we talk for 3 hours, like it'll just be 3 hour episode, you know, or like 3 weeks, which is good for me because then I have episodes for the next like month that I don't have to worry about.
Yeah. And that's always a good
scheduling and boundaries and being like, no, we're good. Like I'm learning all of that now too. Mm-hmm. It's a very interesting thing that I'm doing this podcast. It's fun though.
Well, anyway, yeah. Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed doing this. I love helping people with finances. It's again, my bread and butter.
So again, tell everybody where they can find you. And then again, I'll put everything in the show notes so that you're easily found if people want to follow you on TikTok and Instagram and your business and your website and all of that. But go ahead and give them all that spiel and then we'll add it at the end as well.
Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram at Debt Free with Catitude. That is my official Instagram for the business. Haven't been super active on it lately just because, again, with the job transition, but you can also find me on TikTok at Life with Catitude.
You have a ton of followers on TikTok.
And half of them are bots. I went viral one time and I just got 10,000 followers in one day.
It was crazy.
It was insane. And then I did it again with that anti-MLM video with the Rachel Hollis video. That is the gift that keeps on giving. I still get people liking it.
My childhood friend is the lawyer that is prosecuting her in her defamation lawsuit.
Okay, so next podcast episode, spilling the tea.
I need to reach out to him and see if what he can say and if he can talk to me.
I was about to say he probably can't disclose much, but there's got to be something he could say.
Is the case over already?
I have no idea. I mean, I knew that she was potentially getting sued for copyright issues.
Yes. So he's an intellectual property lawyer, and he's like taking down Nike, and he is gonna take down the Hollis company.
Yay. They need to go.
She like needs my childhood next door neighbor. Like that is how crazy. He's like, wait a second, your documentary is evidence in our case. And I was like, what? It's like Inception. Like,
all right, then.
This is crazy. But yeah.
And so you can find me on TikTok and Instagram. On my Instagram, in my bio, there is a link. And also on my TikTok, there are links that will take you to my website where you can sign up for a free 15-minute financial consult. Awesome. Where I just kind of sit down. We go over what kind of goals you have. I kind of assess whether or not I can help you. Because, you know, a lot of times I will be presented with situations where like it would be illegal for me to help you. I don't deal with bankruptcy, credit repair, credit consolidation, debt consolidation, anything like that. Investing, I do not touch that. I am mainly debt payoff and budget kind of stuff. So anything with those kind of goals, I just kind of see if I can help. What can I do to help? And from there, we move forward and decide kind of how can I best serve. You know, because I'm not a one size fits all. I like to make sure that I help in a, you know, curated way.
Right. And I think a lot of people that are leaving MLM that maybe have some debt from MLM, but not so much that they need to be filing bankruptcy or doing any sort of consolidation, would find your services really helpful to being able to navigate out of that hole they've put themselves in so that they can start fresh. And do it the right way the next time.
Especially with
and avoid friendly get rich quick schemes.
And especially with somebody who is not going to shame you. I'm not going to give you impractical
She's been
advice.
In an MLM. She understands how you felt. She understands
I'm
the pressure.
Debt, and I have been in an MLM. So those are two things that I know for sure I can help with because I've been there. I am still there. Full transparency. I still am in debt. I'm about $5,000 away from paying off my student loan.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's fantastic.
I'm so
excited.
And
somebody who can show that what she does actually works. She's $5,000 away from being debt free. That's incredible. Good job.
I'm excited. So excited. Follow along on the journey that I document
for sure.
On my Instagram.
She's great. She's a fun one to follow. I follow her too. So again, Kat, thank you so much. We will end this. I will edit. I've got things to move around and all of the little, it's going to be fun.
All the fun stuff.
I would love to have you back again. If you would like to come back and talk more about the financial aspect, maybe even other people that, and do kind of like a big chat with like other people and come up with some really good next steps for those people that are navigating life after MLM.
I'd love to. I'd be just name a time and place and I'll be there.
Awesome. And for everybody listening, if you'd like to hear your story on this podcast and share your experiences navigating through MLM and what happened after, hit me up, therealrobertablevins@gmail.com. And we look forward to hearing your story soon. Thank you again, Kat. And I will see you guys all next week.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening to Life After MLM. Please don't forget to like and subscribe and share with all of your anti-MLM friends as well. See you next time.